your grace and your mercy. Oh, Lord, you've been a present help in the time of trouble. Thank you for where you brought us. God, thank you for keeping us. Oh, Lord, thank you for where you're taking us. For we recognize if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, the enemy would have swallowed us up. But thanks be to God who hath given us the victory. Hallelujah. And this is the victory that we have. Even our faith. Hallelujah. That the Lord is on our side. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! And I wonder how many believers we got in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to give the Lord a 30-second shake up. A 30 seconds appreciation to let God know we appreciate him for where he brought us from, for where he's taken us to. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on and lift up a praise unto the Lord, for he is worthy. I just want you to think about just for a few seconds where the Lord brought you from. And can you match your praise with what you know God has done for you and what he's still doing in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Come on, just for a few seconds, we want to give God a praise. We just want to celebrate the God of our salvation and let God know we appreciate him. We thank him. We give him glory. We give him praise. We give him the honor. Thank you, Lord. The devil thought he had you. He tried to kill you. He tried to take you out. But how many know he didn't do it? But God turned it around. God stepped right in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord, the enemy would have taken me out. But thank God for the victory. Thank him for the victory. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, the devil can't have this. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. If you know you got the victory, come on and give God a shout of praise. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh. 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 Woo. Hallelujah. Nana na maso hosha. Nana na maso hosha ndada bahaya. Woo. Urobo sandada basia. Nana na maso urobo shai. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Na 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 maso da 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 basia. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm not letting the devil take nothing else. I'm not giving him nothing else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not giving him no more territory. Not giving him no more ground. And you got to reach down in the recesses of your soul and declare to yourself, touch your neighbor and say, not in my lap. Hallelujah. Ooh, let me tell you that one more time. Touch somebody and say, neighbor, not in my lap. All right, you can go ahead and sit down. not in my lap. I said, not in my lap. Hallelujah. Woo. Now I'm going to help you to understand what all that means. Not in my lap. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost came by and had counsel with me. Hallelujah. And it's amazing that, you know, you sometimes you just tend to your business and then the Lord just comes by and says, I want to talk with you. Hallelujah. I know he talked to y'all like that too. So, and he comes by and want to talk with you. And the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about Samson. But he began to talk to me concerning his people. And to understand, because, you know, we've been talking about pulling down strongholds and understanding that Jesus was driven by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness and he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord began to share with me about the stronghold, because that's one I'm going to pull out today. Hallelujah. Because every now and then the enemy, amen, seeks to set himself in the seat of your life. Amen. And if he can sit on your lap, he'll try to drain you and take the authority from you so that he can kill you. Amen. So can I minister to you just for a few minutes? Amen. From the book of Judges, chapter 16, this is a very unique story. But it has a very powerful principle for us, amen, as we engage in the things of God. Amen. Judges chapter 16, amen. I was so excited, amen, I left the house without my Bible. But I got the message in my heart, though. Hallelujah. Amen. But my wife going to read for me, amen, Judges 16, verses 15 through verse 17. Hallelujah.
Judges chapter 16, verses 15, 16, and 17. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.
Amen. Because keep in mind, you're not just ordinary. You are extraordinary. Amen. And God has engaged us and called us, amen, into his presence and into his authority. And it's unique because when we are recognizing that we got particular strongholds or places in our lives that will try to keep us from our victory. You've tried to do something or produce something and make something happen, and it seemed like there's a cyclic turn. You come right back to the place of origination and find yourself engaged with that thing all over again. Amen. So we have areas of our lives that are weak, and we got to, somebody said, we got to deal with it. And we must deal with it so that we can put the enemy in his place. I don't know about you, but there comes a place and a time that we have to get tired, amen, of the enemy messing with the stuff that pertains to us. And when you know you got God in the midst of what you're seeking to do, amen, the enemy always seeks to try to overcome you, amen, and sit in your lap. Amen. So there's some things specifically, amen, that we must do, amen, to keep the enemy out of our lap. from a historical record, this book of Judges dealt with a history of Israel where God always raised up a deliverer because they didn't have a king at this period of their conception and their history. And God always would raise up a deliverer when Israel would get themselves in trouble because they tried to be like other nations and they got caught up in idolatry and they tried to dictate and emulate what they saw others do. But God had set his people apart so that they might be a model nation, that we were supposed to reflect God and his glory. But they found themselves being captivated by others and those that were around them. And they got drawn, amen, into iniquity and into idolatry. And begin to practice things that were not of God and that was against the laws and the judgments of God. And so every time they did something, they found themselves, amen, in bondage. And you know, anytime bad things happen and you need to get out of it, you start crying out for help. So the Bible declares that every time Israel needed help, they cried unto the Lord, like we do sometimes, right? We get in trouble. We know we say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, please deliver me. Get me out of this. Amen. And we know we don't even deserve it. But God, in his mercy, he loves us so much that he comes to see about us. So even now in the history of Israel, God raises up a mighty warrior. And in this instance, he raises up Samson. Amen. And the uniqueness of him, amen, was distinct from everybody else. Because he was given the vow by his parents. His parents had given him back to the Lord and made a vow, amen, and a covenant with God, amen, that Samson would be a child of God and that he would be a what they call a Nazarite. He had the vow and the covenant of God on his life, so much so that he could not cut his hair. Amen. He could not engage in idolatrous affairs and do things outside of the will of God. He had to remain holy. Mm-hmm. Because you know, with deliverance, there come some prerequisites. And so he had to remain under the covenant vow that God had placed on his life. Why? Because he was called, amen, to deliver the nation. And in delivering the nation, he had to keep himself together. But how many know when you know the oil of God's glory and presence is on you, upon you, the enemy is going to try to take you out. But God raises up a supernatural person that's filled with supernatural ability. Amen. To move against the enemy. History even records he was so strong on one occasion. Amen. He slew 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. Hallelujah. Now that's some fighting. Amen. Hallelujah. That you can kill 1,000 men with just a jawbone. Woo. Now that's God. Hallelujah. Because you know, you get in one fight, you're tired. But this man has some supernatural ability. So he was very uniquely designed by God. But it was for the victory of the nation. And oftentimes we look at things of our own and we look internally in ourselves and think, man, this is just for me. But what he had was not for him. It was for the nation. It was for the deliverance of the people. And so the Holy Spirit begins to lock me in on something. Amen. Because he wants me to visualize and to see that even though, amen, you can be anointed and you can be strengthened by God and you can still possess strongholds. And if you don't deal with it, amen, we'll let those things continue to sit in our lap. Woo, Jesus. Mm-mm. But somebody said, not in my lap today, not in my lap today. So we got to understand and engage and recognize, amen, if we don't deal with the strongholds in our lives, one might ask, what are the strongholds that can sit in our lap? Well, we're going to take a few moments, amen. I'm going to show you a few things that happen, amen, with Samson to show and identify, amen, what can happen if we don't deal with it. The first thing I want you to recognize is disobedience to the covenant of God would become a stronghold. Samson was strategically told amen, and instructed what to do and what not to do. But because of disobedience with his covenant with God, anytime you are in covenant with God, you know what a covenant is, agreement between two or three parties. Amen. It is something that is described. There are conditions that are laid out. Amen. There are prerequisites in order for you to receive the benefit. And if you do not abide in accordance with the agreement, amen, you will default. Amen. So the enemy will oftentimes try to utilize disobedience to cause us to not adhere to divine instruction. When God is trying to get you to a place where he can bring deliverance, not only in you, but to his nation, you must be careful, amen, and meticulous in how you operate. You cannot disobey the covenant of God and walk in your own way, because that is a setup from the enemy. And that will generate a stronghold in your life. Because y'all not disobedient people. I'm just telling you the story. Amen. So you understand that disobedience will cause you to be dislodged and disconnected from your covenant. And you must understand more critically, if you default on God, hallelujah, there's nobody else that can help you. Hallelujah. Only God can reestablish the covenant and the commitment that we make with him. So you must understand, this got Samson in trouble. His father Manoah tried to encourage him to do what is right. Samuel the prophet, who was the prophet over the nation, amen, he would often give instructions, amen, to Samson to let him know this is not of God. But he chose, amen, to look away. When you look away from what you know is right to do, you can get yourself in a stronghold. See, I'm going to help you a little bit. So disobedience can be a stronghold. And then the second mistake that he made was to disrespect. Was to disrespect his leaders by doing his own thing. Remember, Samuel was the prophet. He was the mouthpiece of God. And when God spoke to the prophet, he spoke to the nation. Amen. And because Samson was the deliverer, he had dependence on Samuel hearing from God. And because he did not respect the word that came from the prophet's mouth, he began to do his own thing. And this created a stronghold. Amen. A separation and a disconnection between Samson and God. So he was doing wrong. And even his parents, you know how we do. Your parents try to tell you, baby, don't do that, because you know that's going to get you in trouble. And you think, well, I'm grown. I can do my own thing, right? Mama, daddy, y'all old. Y'all not with the times. Y'all don't understand, you know. Ooh, Jesus. And don't realize we've been there and done that too. And we knew, because we made a mess of it. And so we're trying to use our experience to give you an alert to know that you don't have to do that. But because the enemy puffs us up with the spirit of disrespect. In other words, we don't know. No, never mind. Do you hear me? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I hear you. No, it went in one ear. Somebody say amen. So disobedience and disrespect for the voice and the mouth of God can create a vacuum where the enemy starts closing you in. Bring me my ropes up here. Amen. Put one on this side and one on this side. Amen. One on either side. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. So disobedience, disrespect begins to move and permeate within our mindset. And then the third thing I want you to remember, it blinds you to truth. When these are things that happen with Samson. what the Holy Spirit was showing me, disobedience and disrespect, it blinds us to truth. Hallelujah. Because Samson forsook his true purpose. His purpose was not for his own self-interest or desire. It was for the glory of God. See, my brother and sister, you have been set apart by God, not for your own interest and your own purpose, but for the glory of God. But the enemy must play games and cause you, come on somebody, to play Monopoly with your life. Because he wants to blind you to truth. Because, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. But if the enemy can put blindfolders upon our mind and upon our eyes that we don't see the truth, amen, we'll believe a lie for the truth. So he forsook his true purpose and began to act in his own interest and desires. Stay with me now. And Samson was blinded. Check this out. He was blinded spiritually long before he lost his physical sight. Because when you become spiritually blind, you don't want to hear the preacher. You don't want to hear mama, daddy. You don't want to hear nobody's going to tell you to do right. Because in your own eyes, you will do what you think is right. Hallelujah. And you'll hold your head up and shake your neck. Amen. Raise your eyebrow and, woo, Jesus. And the enemy make you feel like you're right. But he got you blind because he's the small god of this world. And he has blinded the minds of the people that they cannot see the truth. And so you got to be careful. Amen. Even though you're looking with your physical eye, but you might can't see through the spirit eye. And the enemy can blind you spiritually that you will water down the value of what God has anointed you for. And he makes you feel like, amen, I can do what I want to do. Okay, y'all got me now. Number one, disobedience, disrespect, blinded to truth. Amen. Number four, he moved out from under spiritual covering. In other words, he forced him through his own perceptions and philosophy and ideology and thought processes and interests and desires. He made him make a move from out of the protection of God. He moved into the realm and into the place, amen, hallelujah, of not being spiritually covered. Because remember, he didn't want to hear the prophet. He avoided that. He didn't want to hear his parents. He avoided that. So the enemy said, you know what? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. They can't tell you what to do. You grown. You got your own mind. Who they think they are telling me what to do? And you got to realize that's the enemy speaking to you in your human will, because he's got to give you confidence and courage to blind yourself so you will move from under spiritual covering. Woo, Lord have mercy. I ain't even got to the good part yet. And so he went where he could do his own thing. When you get from out under spiritual covering, you begin to do your own thing. Woo, but it's a long road. See, this rope represents your line and your lineage. The expanse of who you are and what you can become. And the enemy knows your beginning to your end. So his objective is to cut you off before you can even get to the place of comprehension and revelation. He wants to tie you up. Woo, Jesus. Through your disobedience. Since you're on the front row, I'm going to tie you up. entrap you
in your own,
in your own stuff. See, by moving from under spiritual covering, you gave the enemy the right to bind you with a demon of stronghold. And he got you mobilized, immobile, to the place you feel uncomfortable and don't realize you are restricted. Because now I'm moving not from the spiritual perception. I'm moving from the physical perception. And see, anytime you move under the auspices of the flesh, you always feel comfortable. Because the spirit, will bring conviction to let you know that ain't right. But the flesh makes you feel comfortable and convincing enough to keep moving. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's number four, right? Under spiritual covering. He went where he could do his own thing. And in doing that, he violates covenant relationship and sets himself in a place where he can be restricted and entangled with Delilah. Uh-oh, y'all hold on. Okay. Number five, I got to give you number five. Number five. He laid in the lap of his enemy and exposed his vital organs. Ooh, but it's a good day the children went to children's church. Hallelujah. He exposed his vital organs. Remember now, Samson was strong. He was given super good. I'm glad you stood up. Super human strength. He could break anything that they put around him. Hallelujah. He said, I ain't worried about them trying to bind me up. History records they laid at night while Samson was indulging with a harlot. And the Bible says, it's in Judges, and the Bible says they wait around to midnight till he got finished. And they determined, we're going to get him. Hallelujah. Samson won't even worry, because remember, God was still with them at this moment. See, this is the revelation. Because you can go do something wrong and still shake yourself and still feel strong and anointed. Hallelujah. Because God always will send you warning before destruction. And the Bible says that when they tried to capture him, they locked the gates of the city. Because these were great gates. You couldn't go out or come in once they mobilized and locked it down. But the Bible said he just simply went up and took up the gates, walked out the city with the gates. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! And took it up the hill so they could see, you can't stop me. Hallelujah. But touch somebody, say that was a setup. Because your initial strength would remain until you get to the point where you give the enemy all your goods. So he revealed his vital organs. Hallelujah. Now, what were some of his vital organs? I want you to get this. First, he exposed his mind. He exposed his mind. He started allowing the enemy to convince him that he was safe and could talk about his secrets. This word, what we use in this present culture, is to be called vulnerable. Because the enemy wants your anointing. So he forces you to be disobedient, disrespectful, blinded to truth, and move from under spiritual covering so you can lay in his lap or her lap. Then it starts messing with your mind. Come on, now you know that player. Or that sister girl that, you know, they know how to get anything out of you. Start playing with your. Know what swelling words to say? Girl, you know you fine. Boy, you know you, man, you got it, bro. You got it. Hallelujah. You my man. You know you it. Hallelujah. Because the enemy understands. See, this Holy Ghost had to talk with me. See, the enemy understands that if he exposes your mind, he indulges in your intriguingness, the things you get intrigued by. Somebody tell you you're cute or you're handsome, and oh Lord, you look good, you fine, you. So he got to expose your mind, because your mind is connected to that intuitive philosophy that makes you feel good. Oh yeah, he make me feel good, child. You hear that? So he exposes, she exposes his mind. And then of course, in exposing the mind, amen, your heart become exposed. Because when that word get in your head, then if you're not careful, it sinks down into your heart. Woo, Jesus. Because sometimes we think we're strong enough to handle stuff, and because he began to expose his heart, he believed, check this out, he believed he could recover from a night of broken covenant with God. Because he said, I'll just shake myself like other times. Hallelujah. But he didn't realize the enemy had him already in a stronghold. Woo, Jesus.